Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
The newest Real Housewife of NYC, Tinsley Mortimer, has us talking. Johnny Depp's redemption tour ends at Disneyland. We check in on Brangelina. Paris Hilton celebrates 10 years post-prison. And we examine the recently announced Bravo shows with Fern Ronay. Let the ranting begin. I'm joined by Fern Ronay.
Hi.
Sitting across from, I should say. Fern, good to have you back
on the show. So good to be here. I'm so excited.
Fern, you've been on the Christmas show. You were on a show in October, way back when we were supposed to have our second episode of the Bid Chat show. And I said to you, oh, we're going to have Fern on. But I try to keep it very balanced by like how many people I have on and how often. And so I was like, you know, then we got caught up in the holidays.
Yeah,
and then we talked about it at the beginning of this year. We're like, we're going to have you on. So, and I want to hear about the second book.
Okay. Yes.
So this is just really good timing because I'm going back and bringing back some people that I love to chat with.
Nice.
And it's been a while since we've had you, especially one-on-one, a long time. So let's talk about a few things going on.
Sure.
Real Housewives of New York.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know it's a really crazy cast when the one that I can relate to the most is the one with the mugshot. You know what I mean?
Miss Tinsley Mortimer?
Yeah. I like her.
I know. I like her, too. It's so funny because I knew of her because when I lived in New York, this was before social media, which makes me sound so old, but I would always get the Post or any local paper, and she was always in there for something. Like, she was just the it girl. She was the toast of the town. She was, this wealthy Virginia girl who married her wealthy boarding school boyfriend, and they just seemed to have this charmed life. Then she wrote a novel, like, years later. I remember reading about that. It was called Southern Charm, actually. And I was just like, God bless. Like, she seems to have everything. Like, they're really rich. They're living in New York. She seems to be, I assume everyone's happily married. And she just was the toast of the town at every party. And I was a miserable lawyer at the time, so I was always kind of like, what do people do? Like, what do these people do? Like, if you don't have to work like a dog,
right.
What do people do? Like, what's their life like? It was so funny.
I question that all the time.
All the time, right?
All the time. Even out here, you know, you're working in the middle of the week and someone's on a Tuesday at 3 o'clock hiking.
Right.
Like, I wish.
How does it happen?
I totally wish.
I remembered her. Then seeing her mugshot, then seeing that she's joined the cast of Real Housewives of New York, I was so excited. I can't wait to get to know her better. I already think she's going to be interesting. I think she's going to go off the rails and it's going to be fascinating. I think she's adorable and she's going to be great for the show.
Yeah.
She's definitely going to come back. But it's just so interesting that, you know, you never know where life takes you, because there was a time when it seemed like she had everything, but I guess it wasn't, you know, it wasn't what I thought it was,
right?
Because she ended up divorced, living in Sonia's home for the single ladies in New York.
Bedroom.
The stuffed animals.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she probably would never have predicted. She went through a lot of trauma, though. See, I only see one side of it, though. A lot of the press will just paint him as the awful monster that he was. And he really did do horrible things, like attacking her with, like, the windshield wiper blades.
The boyfriend
or the husband.
Okay,
She was in the car and he keyed it with her in it and then broke off the windshield and started smashing the windshield to get to her inside the car.
Horrible. She should have run from Palm Beach as fast as she could.
Unbelievable, yeah. But then she's the one that looks the worst with the mugshot,
right?
Because she violated that, what was the thing?
There was like a restraining order?
Restraining order, yeah. She couldn't come near him or whatever. She claims she didn't know about it.
There are always two sides.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I will say, Tinsley has the smallest nose.
I never noticed.
She has a little button nose. Yes.
She's very pretty, and she's very, I think she's going to be one of the likable crazy. Like, she's going to, I think, go nuts, and we're going to love it and not wait for her to come back for season two.
That whole show, though, those ladies are all crazy. There's no real down-to-earth person on that show.
No. I think that that's how all the housewives are, but there's always kind of that one that you're like, all right, if I was stuck on an island, like, who would I be able to, like, deal with?
Yeah.
And I feel like on Beverly Hills, I think it's Kyle. I think Kyle is so reasonable, and I think
See, I think it's Eileen.
Yeah, her too. Yeah, she's not completely nuts. But who in New York?
Carol, I guess. Just because she's the boring one on that.
Yeah, she's the calmest.
Yeah,
I guess Carol.
Yeah, that show's off the rockers, and I enjoy a lot of it. But that it was never my show. Mm-hmm. Like, I never lived the way I love for, you know, I love OC. Like, that is my ideal. Yeah. You know, but that, New York has a fun watch, but I don't know. It's a tough crowd.
It is. I love it, though. I think it's the best of the Housewives. I think it's just, I think it's the smartest.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have real fights that are, that people would have in real life instead of over, like, a bunny.
Right. Yeah. Well, I will say, though, all those women have something going on, aka a job, and they all have fighting, or, no, I don't want to say fighting, it's some negative, but they have, like, a beef with one another. Like, with everyone kind of has an adversary, but then there's always another overarching storyline. So there's many layers to those seasons, unlike a Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Where for 21 episodes, there was one storyline.
About nothing, basically.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's two very different crowds, for sure. But, I was very curious to know what your overlap with Tinsley was while you lived in the city.
It's just amazing. I mean, who knows where life takes you. I don't want to say too much because I feel, you know, I'm in such a different place than when I was looking through the post before I had to go to work. And I was miserable. And I was like trying to like delay every second I could.
Oh my God, seeing, I know that, right?
That even feeling.
Like even walking in 3 minutes late makes it feels like it's a little less time.
Yes. Less time I have to be there.
Yeah.
And just seeing her picture and seeing her, she was just like one of those New Yorkers that was everywhere. And we're the same age, and she and I was single, and I was like, God bless, like, these are the things that I hope, like, one day I would love to be married, write a book. Her book didn't come for later, but come till later, but still.
A parallel universe.
Yeah, so I hope in 10 years we're both happy.
There you go. Very good. Yeah, positive.
Yeah, sure. Oh my God.
The theme of this show, actually, just looking at the topics, is kind of like a Hollywood redemption storyline. You know, so we've got Tinsley, who's coming back into the New York fold. Then the next story we're going to be discussing is Johnny Depp. And I thought this divorce with Amber Heard was recent, but I know we talked about it on this show. Mm-hmm. So I went back into the vault and looked back at the episodes, and we talked about it on June 1st. So it's been about 11 months, exactly, when we discussed the stories. I thought it was more recent. But 11 months later, he's got this movie coming out, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, which I think, aren't like two of them already called Dead Men Tell No
Know.
Tales?
I don't see any of them. I don't go to the movies to see any of those.
I feel like they're all called Dead Men Tell No Tales. Like, it's the same thing. What's the other one called?
Dead something. Who knows?
They're like, they're all the skull.
They need some variety.
Yeah. Johnny Depp is, you know, doing
I
the
saw
same
the
thing.
Very first one, and I thought he was brilliant, but that was like 12 years ago.
12, yeah. And it was fine, and one was enough.
Exactly. I've seen none since.
One was enough. So he's coming back with this movie. So Disneyland had him make an appearance on the ride, which was definitely a highlight for some people, I'm sure. You know, a lot of people have a lot to say about this. What would you do if you ran into Johnny Depp on the ride, though?
Well, when I read it, I was like, that is awesome. How cool of him. That was, I just loved it. And then I forgot that there was that video that Amber, that kind of like secret video that Amber took of him, and he was on a abusive rant, and it was really disgusting. But there's we hear so much of these things that you kind of forget. I'm not really like a follower of Johnny Depp. It's not something that would stick in my memory. So I was kind of like, oh my God, that's so awesome of him. And then I was like, oh my God, he's a horrible person. I forgot.
Right.
But it's not something that would like stay with me.
Right.
But he what that video was when I remember seeing it and being like, he needs help and she needs to run for the hills.
Right. Well, Vogue magazine is reminding us of that video and the controversies more or less are surrounding him and the abuse and the horrible allegations that were pinned on him and Amber. The two of them, it was like the worst, it was such an ugly relationship.
Yes.
So we talked about it on this show. But Vogue put out this article that was very slanted against Johnny and was like, oh, it's supposed to be a surprise. But, you know, the surprise is that he's an abusive man and now we're celebrating him less than a year later.
Right.
And it's true. I mean, the timeline, what is the timeline on Redemption?
I don't know because Mel Gibson was at the Oscars this year.
Yeah.
And Woody Allen is still making movies and... yeah, I mean, and Casey Affleck won the Oscar.
Yeah, and they're all men that you named.
Yes,
yeah.
that's true.
That's Vogue's argument is, you know, the woman can't get past these past controversies. And they alluded to that girl from Grey's Anatomy. Oh, my God, the one who does the commercials.
Oh, yeah, Katherine Heigl.
Katherine Heigl.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The one who does the commercials. One was a movie star. But, yes, it's like, you know, her career, like, you know, she does have a movie that's coming out, or perhaps it already did. I don't know what the name of it was, but I've seen her all over the place. I thought it was for Lifetime.
Oh, God.
I seriously thought it was for Lifetime.
Oh, no.
I didn't know it was a real movie. It
says so much.
But at least she got a film. But it's like, you know, but that girl really has had a barren film career.
Mm-hmm.
It took many years for her to land a film again. You know, that show she did for CBS got killed after 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough.
And then she did another show that got killed before that, right? Wasn't there like State of Affairs?
Yeah. So that one, I don't know. But so they look at the male and female aspects of this in this article. You know, Johnny Depp, the lawyer said, and I always question Amber's role in all of this. I don't doubt, though, that video is real.
Yes.
But when it comes to the wife, she seemed like she was out for a quick deal herself.
Uh-huh.
So they said that she made it such a big thing so she would get a quick financial settlement, which I believe.
Right. That's a tactic for sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got plenty of money. You have to get to it somehow. So I don't know. You know, it's sexual assault and all that. We're not here to get into all that, but... it's tough. I mean, it's tough for a woman to open her mouth. I mean, we talked about Bill Cosby on the show last week. We talked about Bill O'Reilly. Our own president has had many allegations against him.
And it's so unfair because these things were, you know, it's one thing when you say, allege any kind of abuse, like sexual abuse is so hard to prove because it's so rarely, there's so rarely hard evidence. You know, there's no video, there's no, but we have tapes of Johnny Depp. We have recording of Mel Gibson saying disgusting things to his ex-girlfriend, wife. We have... all of these things are recorded. So it's like there's nothing, you know, nothing to dispute. They're not fake tapes.
Right,
we believe them.
Yeah.
They're not denying that they're not real. So we're getting an idea of what this person's true nature is. And then we still... they're still at the Oscars at some point.
Yeah.
When is Katherine Heigl? She didn't abuse anyone. She just made some poor, you know, she opened her mouth and made some poor comments and decisions. And, but if that, you know, that, if that were a man, perhaps no one would even comment. They would just be like, oh, he's just being straightforward.
Look at Christian Bale. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So
it's unfair.
He's another one though. I don't know. Johnny Depp. I don't know. I'm not going to watch the movie anyway. I don't care if you're on the ride. But yeah, perhaps it is a little too soon for you to be in the park with all the kids laughing it up.
Right.
Yeah, just go do a media tour and relax. Another redemption story. Just I wanted to keep up with Brangelina and see what the status is with those two because it got really bad in September of 2016 on that flight.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bunch of stuff went down. Then it got really ugly around the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't speaking to each other. Now all the charges against Brad have been cleared. But it's a lot of long-term damage.
Right. And she also hired she for years never had a publicist. And then she hired one, I think, in a few months ago. And then she did this, you know, film and kind of press tour. I think it was in Cambodia. It was somewhere like that.
It was,
Trying to turn her image around. So I think she, you know, it's just so interesting because I didn't think they would ever break up. I was one of those people who was like, I wasn't a huge fan of theirs, and I certainly was Team Jen, but I was just like, maybe they just have this love that that there was no stopping it, and it's just gonna last for. I really never thought they would break up. Or maybe if I had to put a timeline on it, I don't know. I just never could have predicted, and I was shocked.
Yeah, well, it did come as a shock. I mean, the whole thing was just came out of nowhere.
The whole thing. Because you never, like, they're one of those people where every week it's on the cover of OK or Life and Style that they're breaking up. So, I mean, a broken clock is right twice a day. Like, they're going to be right at some point. But it was, you could never believe it. And I never believed it. And then it was such a shock. I think he, if I had to guess, I think he was floored that she ever filed for divorce and brought it public. That's from what I've read and what it sounds like. He couldn't believe she went that far, and that just ruined it. I think they would have gotten into a fight, resolved it, and moved on, and we would have never heard about it. But I think she obviously went too far. She probably has, maybe she has impulse control issues, because I think she's not completely playing with the full deck.
Oh, yeah.
So she ruined it for herself, too. Mm-hmm. It's sad.
Yeah, I think you're onto something with that, with her bringing it public. That it seems that they didn't do anything public. I know nothing about their life.
Right, nothing.
The only thing I would hear about those two is when they adopted a new child.
Yes.
That was it. I knew nothing else, really, about where they lived or what they did or upcoming projects, except for something that was being released.
Yeah, yeah. They never, there was no glimpse into what it was like. I remember once, and the fact that I would remember this would say, like, how often they talked about their personal life. But I remember them saying, you know, when it's breakfast time, that her and Brad are like a wait staff. They're, like, taking, like, the plates from all the kids and handing out all the food. And and that brings them so much joy. So I was like, that's, like, a family picture of, like, a huge, happy family. And I was like, all right, wonderful for them if that's what they want. But getting a glimpse that there was this fight on a private plane, I think the kids are probably secluded, you know, so secluded, so sheltered in a way that they don't know what's normal and what's not.
Right. I believe.
Of course. And that there was this fight that every teenager gets into fights with their parents, that it went a little too far. How far could it have gone that she would file for divorce?
Yeah.
There was nothing leading up to that.
Create all those horrible allegations against the kid's father. Yeah. You have to. I always am curious, like with them, and even with all the kids that Madonna has adopted over the years. It's like those children. What goes through their mind? You know, like they're plucked from a third world country, and now they're brought here. But now they're a celebrity's child.
Right.
They're being thrown into these very expensive schools with these kids who grew up knowing nothing other than a high end, rich life, and having to assimilate in a like. As a kid.
I know. I feel like they were adopted really young. So, like, it seems like four and under. So, like, would they remember what, like, Cambodia was like at 4 years? I don't know. But it's, like, it's from one life to such an extreme. I can't imagine growing up not having... I don't know. Like, it's so strange to me that there would be this one fight on a plane... He would get pushed around a little, and then there would be a divorce. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Like, there had to be
a long time
stuff
coming,
leading.
I bet. It has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. Or it wasn't, because maybe Angelina has impulse control issues because she's a little crazy. So maybe it was fine. Maybe it was normal. But none of them know what normal is. They get into one fight, and he's like, she's filing for divorce? What?
Wow, yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe she does have impulse issues.
I think she maybe fell out of love with him and was like... Okay, these kids are mine now, and you need to not yell at them, because I'm never going to yell at them.
Wow.
She grew up in a kind of such a strange childhood. You know, they weren't super rich. Her father was an Oscar winner, but they weren't, you know, rich. But she had a mother who was very, let her do whatever she wanted. Like, her boyfriend slept over when they were, like, 15 years old, which is so weird and not normal.
Right.
So she's probably extremely lenient in the way her mother was, and he kind of had that, like, regular Missouri upbringing. So they're clashing, but would that lead to divorce? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. She claims that they're coping now, and that the kids are closer to the father, and that they're rebuilding. Everyone's on speaking terms.
It sounds like she is having second thoughts then.
Well, yeah, because she ditched her house that she was supposed to live in Malibu to live in Los Feliz next to him, or like in the same street, or like a street over. I mean, you know, the article questioned this, you know, it says, according to E, you know, is this going to be like some type of Richard Burton, Liz Taylor relationship when they get back together? And I think that it easily could be.
I think so, too. I think she probably regrets it. I think he was probably, it sounds like he was completely blindsided. They could get back together.
I would think it would fit into the narrative.
Yeah.
You know, they felt hard for each other like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It was unstoppable.
And now they're in each other's orbit. They're living, you know, a couple streets over.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize they lived in Los Feliz. I mean...
Yeah, I was shocked to read that.
Yeah, Los Feliz isn't necessarily a bad neighborhood. It's just a, it's a sub, like a sub of Hollywood, really.
But are there gated communities?
I don't think so.
So they're like live on like a house on the street?
That's
weird. That's so
weird. Yeah. I mean, there are beautiful homes over there. It's by Griffith Park, but I mean, yeah, it's not exactly like the Calabasas.
Right.
You know, gate within a gate within a
gate.
I mean, you know, the Real Housewives of Orange County live in a safer neighborhood than Angelina Jolie.
But will she ever even really be there? Because I feel like she's trying to get, wasn't she trying to get a job with in London? Like, some humanitarian, something. So she's probably never even going to be there with the kids anyway.
Who knows? But I think that there's a good possibility
I
it could get
so
back.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Let's take a look at another story layout. This is all by mistake that all these, we're looking at people's lives and how to come back.
I love it. This is the stuff I love to analyze.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, it's a good show to have fun on that. Of course, Paris Hilton is someone that we haven't heard from too much lately, but she's still out there. She's a businesswoman, and she's found another man, another younger man to be with. And this one's the one. So in the last five, she's really exhausting when it comes to the men. I mean, it's like every time she does the circuit, like the Tonight Show, and then she'll go and do like Letterman. Not Letterman. Thank God, is not around anymore. But you know, she's always bringing someone new on. They'll say, "Oh, you brought your boyfriend with you," and it's always someone new.
Oh my God!
Always.
I think, and also she's also older. Like she's 36, I think, or 35.
Yeah.
So, and she's been in the public eye since she's 21, really. So I feel like, you know, how many, like, it's possible to have a lot of boyfriends over 14 years.
Yeah, that's true. We've seen her for a while.
For so long.
It's been 10 years since the controversy over Paris Hilton going to jail. It started with 2011's DUI. She received, she got probation for this DUI, which was going in and out, which I love.
Right.
She claims she had one margarita. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. And she's very careful with everything that she said, even up until recently. But she doesn't talk about it anymore, which is odd. It seems to really change her life. Like she does.
Right.
She puts across this image that she's changed everything.
Right. I think what changed is the Kardashians came along and stole her every second that people were willing. Like the bandwidth was just taken up by the Kardashians, and there was nothing left for Paris. Right. So I feel like we know who she is, and we've known who she is for so long, but we haven't kept up with her.
Yeah.
Because people just stopped caring. She was not that interesting anymore. But I remember when in 2007 when she was sent back to jail, and I was like, yes. Yeah. And I mean, in all interviews I've seen with her, I actually think she seems pretty sweet. A little out of touch, as you would expect, but really sweet. I don't think she's arrogant at all. But I was glad to see her hauled back to jail, and I will never forget it, maybe because I was a miserable lawyer back then. But no, I think I would be happy now, too, because you could kill someone, and you aren't going to realize it unless you're stuck alone with your own thoughts for however many nights. And and it was, I think, a wonderful lesson, and she was on Larry King after that, and you know, it changed her. And I was like, is she introspective enough? And I mean, not intuitive or, you know, introspective enough to gain anything from being alone for that long. And it sounded like she was fed the right things to say.
Yeah.
Did it really change her? No, because then she went on up until 2011 to continue to be caught with coke, to be caught with
weed.
Right,
airports. Like,
it was like, what? She didn't learn her lesson, but I don't think she never came across as someone who's really a snot. I think she's just out of touch.
Yeah, I always got a kick out of her. You mentioned the Kardashians. It's funny because, like, I'll never talk about them on this show. No, I don't mind that. No, it's gonna let you mention it. But I'll never talk about them. But I love to talk about her and what's really the difference. You know, it's two very wealthy families filled of opportunists. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, filled with opportunists. And so looking at her, I don't know, I just got such a kick out of her. I love that. That was the time to be alive.
Yes. As smart as she was with all of her businesses, she should have done what the Kardashians did when the Kardashians did it in 2007. Because up until then, she did like those stupid shows with Nicole Richie, but it wasn't a glimpse into her life. I remember being like, I want to see her house. I want to see how she lives. The Kardashians did what she should have done, and she might have lasted longer, but the Kardashians came in and gave a glimpse into, like, the rich people life and stole it from her.
That's true. I always liked her, though. I just thought she was so ridiculous and such a cartoon.
I know.
So all of this.
Did you watch The World According to Parrot? Because it came out too late. It was too late by then.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it was a little too much for me at that point. Like, I was...
Yeah.
It was not my type of show. But I always got a kick out of her. And, like, that whole... I'll never forget when she left that prison.
Yes.
I have the date. It's worth mentioning. On June 26, 2007, Paris Hilton walked out of. Remember, she had to go to Lynwood. That was so controversial.
And she went after the award show. She snuck in at midnight.
Yep.
But she looked really cute. I remember her walking out, and that she had that cute vest, that cute jacket.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's not a bad kid, but if she needs someone, needs to be made an example out of.
We were on vacation. I was right after my birthday is June 20th, so this was the 26th. So we had a birthday party, which was great, and then we took off the next day to go to Orlando. Of course, my father lives in Orlando, Florida. So we were in Orlando, and I remember we were staying at this hotel, and we had to come inside early. I made my family cut the day short so we could turn on CNN and watch Larry King's coverage of her coming out of the jail in Lynwood, California. And I remember my father was so pissed because he didn't realize that that's why we had to go back. I didn't tell him that's why we had to go back. And so I was like, you have to watch this. You have to watch this. This is live coverage. I remember all the helicopters. That 2007 was the time to be alive. And that was really the time to be living in West Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And I wish I was here.
I know.
You know, I'm about 10 years too late as usual. My timing is always off. But I'm ready for the next thing. I'm waiting for these trials. You know, I don't think I'm going to get as much entertainment out of Bill Cosby as I would something Lindsay.
It's not the same.
Also, I'm still excited to cover it. But, like, I remember Lindsay went in for, a couple hours.
God, yes. Yes.
Yes.
Those were good.
That was the good times. The one, you know, Britney, though, she got the worst deal out of all of them because she had to be, admitted.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that really, against her will.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole thing was just the time to be alive.
Remember when the three of them were, there's a famous photo of the three of them, those three, Britney, Lindsay, and Paris, in a car.
Fern, turn around. Turn around. That photo is displayed on my shelf.
It's so funny because I was working at a job where I traveled every week, and I bought a magazine, and I was paying for it to read on the plane, and the woman behind this old biddy behind the cash register was like, these people make me sick. And I was like, do you want to do what I do? We could switch jobs because I hate what I do. And this is my fluff. This is my this is my meditation. So don't judge me.
Oh, I have a photo promptly displayed of the three of them in the range.
I love it.
That one night in 07. Look at
them. Oh my God. It's like when Elvis and Jerry Lewis sang together that one night.
Very truly iconic.
Iconic.
I'm trying to find more iconic photos to place in my studio here of moments in time like that that were just so defining.
Yes.
Like, I'm thinking about it. You know, the great moments, like Paris walking out of Lynwood, that would be one of them. I'm trying to think of things that really make an impression. You know, I really want to slip them in here and there, so we'll see.
You should have Lindsay in her hijab.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking her... Wasn't she, and then there was another time she was, speaking. It wasn't too long ago. In an accent.
Oh, yeah, the accent. Oh, yeah. You know, I had that photo taken, printed, out in, Walgreens. I didn't know if they were going to do it because I don't have the rights for that photo. But I printed, four photos, right? And that was one of the four. And I was, I remember being, so embarrassed to pick it up because I'm, you know, it's not like it's in the deck of, 100 photos.
Right.
And, of course, it was, right on top, the number one picture.
I love
it. Whatever. It has to be in my apartment.
I love it.
So, yeah. Did you ever watch Paris Hilton, My New BFF on MTV?
No.
You didn't
miss
much.
What year was that?
08. It was the year after.
Oh, see, no. She should have just done a show with her, like, of her life. Like, just following her around.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, these game show or whatever they were.
Yeah, that was really... Yeah, because that really was, like, in someone else's, like, a rented house. Oh, or, like, you know, like, in the valley.
Nobody cared. We wanted to see inside your home.
Right, exactly. Oh, man, the time to be around. I miss those days. We don't have those days.
You know,
Bieber was arrested, but who cares?
Who cares?
You know, that's bound to happen.
Yeah, right.
You know, and like,
yeah, it's just not, I don't know, it's not exciting.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms and YouTube for bonus content. And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Fern Ronay, and we're going to look at some of these Bravo shows. And I don't know what we're into or not, but here's what's coming back. Previously announced returns are Imposters. Did you look at that?
Yeah, the scripted show.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna watch it. But
it wasn't for me.
Yeah, it wasn't for me either. It just wasn't for me. But I love their other scripted show, Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce.
Oh yeah.
And it'll be back for two more seasons. I love that show.
And the Odd Mom Out, I never looked at that.
Never watched
one.
It.
No.
The commercials don't look funny, but I love that main actress, Jill, I think Cardman.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I love when she's on Watch What Happens Live, but the show just doesn't look good.
No. Top Chef, of course, which I've never really looked at. I don't care
never,
for food.
Never.
Million Dollar List in New York, that's returning out. Summer premieres include my favorite, The OC Ladies.
Yay.
The House of Orange County. Shaws of Sunset. I never could get into that.
I love it.
Really?
And I can't believe we don't do an AfterBuzz show for it. I love
wow,
it.
Wow, yeah. That, I
Isn't that surprising?
That. Yeah, that yeah. is. That's a big show. Coming Later, our New Jersey Housewives.
I don't know where they're going to go with that.
We don't need that. And there's a bunch of others, you know, Flipping Out, Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles, Don't Be Tardy, Married to Medicine, Real Housewives of Dallas, such a joke, which I can't wait to return. Inside the Actors Studio, they bring back Summer House, and of course Vanderpump Rules. So there's stuff to be looking forward to that's greenlit, basically, at this point.
Inside the Actors Studio is so out of place on that whole list.
It used to be like
the
Crown.
Only show
yeah.
on Bravo.
I know, it really is. There was an article that came out, I want to say it was on BuzzFeed, and it was all about the Real Housewives and have they run their course or have they peaked. And it was all about the evolution of the show and like how the first Orange County reunion, they were literally sitting in lawn chairs.
Yes, there was no Andy.
Yes, no. And now, I don't know if you're looking at Atlanta, but that reunion is vicious.
And it's four parts, right?
Yes.
Your article was awesome.
It's awful. Oh, thank you. Yes. I should announce that if you're interested in reading an article or a listicle, very light content.
Very
here.
Well written, very funny.
Thank you. It's over on HeyYou.com. That's HAYU. HeyYou is a SVOD or like an on-demand service, much like a Netflix, but for unscripted shows that air here in the United States and then will be played over there. You can access them in the UK and Australia. So it's affiliated with my job at NBC, so I was able to latch on to this. And, you know, I pitched it and had a bunch of ideas. And this is what we're doing. We're writing these little articles. And so I covered the Real Housewives of Atlanta Reunion Part 1. And I hope to do more. And it was just a fun,
light. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, just light. But that reunion, though, I mean, they really just pitted against each other in the worst way. I mean, these women are going there. They're creating lies and allegations about even someone forcing themselves on someone.
Oh my God, that's getting like too real.
It's too vicious. It's not about shade and someone's husband gossiped about them.
Right.
It's getting to be a little too much. And you know, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
You know, like that's the thing when things, and especially a four-part reunion. I mean, you know, you're really testing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, three parts.
Yeah, is
there
an
ridiculous.
Appetite for four parts?
I mean, even OC, OC can go on forever. But Beverly Hills, there is no need for a third part of the reunion. That could have all been wrapped up in two. And they didn't need all those packages of the women saying hello.
Oh my God, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, they really could have done a lot less with that. And, you know, whatever. But it's a little too much. Now, there's a lot of new shows. Six new shows are announced. None of them are Real Housewives. Which I think is smart.
Yeah.
You know, we need to see what's going on with Dallas and Potomac is like here and there. So we'll see. The first one, which if I had to choose, I would look at this one. It's a working title, right? The current working title is Bethany and Frederick Property Project. which, you know, they're going to rename that.
Right.
I mean, that sounds awful. But this new series follows two fan favorites, Bethany Frankel and Frederick Eklund, as they come together for in their new venture as real estate moguls and business partners. Viewers will watch as they tackle the ups and downs of scouting, buying, and designing multi-million dollar properties. The series shows the side of Bethany and Frederick, often through their humorous dynamic that fans have never seen before, as they make big, flipping gambles in the hopes of an even bigger payout.
No, thanks. Pass. Yeah,
not into real estate shows.
No, I don't watch any of the Million Dollar Listing. The only thing I watch is Fixer Uppers, Chip and Joanna Gaines, but just because I think they're so creative and I love what they do, but I don't watch any of them. I don't watch any of them on Bravo. I only know Frederick from Watch What Happens Live. Bethany, yeah. I love, but I get enough of her on Real Housewives of New York. I don't need to see her again. She's funny with everyone. Like, I don't need to see this dynamic with her and Frederick. I don't think it's that interesting.
I never cared for Frederick. I don't like him. I just, there's something about him. I don't think we'd be friends.
Right.
So I don't really know if I'm interested in the show very much. And Bethany, I really can't stand. I mean, I can stand her enough to watch the show. And I like the dose of realism, but I just think she's just a bitch to be a bitch. So I don't really care for that too much. You got to have some tact. You can't just be a straight up bitch. But I get that she's been through like hell and back. This show, if I had to look at one, this would be it. I don't mind flip shows. It could be interesting. New York Real Estate does well for Bravo. I prefer the LA ones just because you get more of a variety in design. You know, you get like Spanish revivals, modern, and then in New York, it's just all penthouses.
Right.
So it's like, all right, you know, what else do they have to show? But all right, then there's, speaking of New York Real Estate, then there's this other one, Sell Like Schrant. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. I don't watch the Million Dollar Listing New York though. But I mean, I might be, I don't know. It doesn't matter if it is what the Bravo says. This is their log line. It doesn't matter what you're selling. If you know your client and your product, a good salesman can sell anything to anyone. No one exemplifies this better than the leader of one of the top real estate teams in the U.S., Ryan Schrant. In this new series, Ryan puts his skills to the ultimate test when he answers the call of struggling sales reps, desperate for his expertise. While Ryan learns the tricks of a particular trade, he will also give underperforming employees a head-to-toe business overhaul and turn them into sales machines.
Hmm.
So I guess it's like, what, like a Tabitha takes over?
Right, yeah. Her salon show, yeah. All right, I'm not going to watch it either.
No.
But I appreciate that these are more than women fighting with each other. So I give them credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And there obviously is a market for these real estate shows and these flipping
shows.
Yeah, so I give them credit for that. I hope it does well. I'm not going to watch it. I have enough on my plate to watch and read and whatever.
I like that it's more lifestyle in this sense. Because, I mean, following another angry group of ladies in another city or who is married to medicine.
It's getting tired.
Yeah, it's a little exhausting. I mean, how much more can you do?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
You know, like even that show, like the Abbey Diaries, I don't feel like getting invested in another group of 20-somethings drunk. I just don't.
No, it's not. There's only so much you can do.
I planned on watching that Abbey show. Mm-hmm. And then the first 40 seconds into the preview, I just knew that I wasn't going to watch it. I was like, I don't care about this.
It just turned you off. Yeah, you just didn't care about it.
Another group of people I just didn't care about.
Yeah, that's
I will say, I have to say, you know, my views and my opinions are my own and not those of NBC Universal. But I will not be watching the Abbey Diaries. It's just not for me. Then there's this other show. This one really pisses me off. This relationship. Because I don't care about Southern Charm. I've tried so hard to get into Southern Charm.
I don't watch it either. I know him only from Watch What Happens Live. I think he's adorable. But I don't know enough about him. I don't watch it.
I think he's a mess. I don't think he's good looking.
Oh, you don't?
I don't think he has a personality to carry a show. Like, to me, it's like, okay, he's like another Playboy. Like, so give him a show.
It's another Bachelor, it's not.
Yeah, so just give him a show. So, they'll see how they're pitching this one. Bravo says, this is according to Dateline, by the way. Deadline. Dateline.
That would be when Shep and his wife, goes missing.
Someone goes missing, So, relationship. This new series follows Charleston's most eligible and lovable singleton, Shep Rose, as he ventures to various cities across the country in hopes of finding true love and a committed relationship. Shep is a complicated bachelor, and the right match will have to effortlessly fit into his particular lifestyle, which ranges from black tie galas to surfing with him in Costa Rica, as Shep leaves Charleston to look for the one, he calls upon his friends in various cities from New York to LA to help set him up with women in hopes that they are the perfect match.
It sounds like such a good deal for him. He gets to travel.
I know. He's the only one winning in that one.
I know.
Boring, and it sounds convoluted.
Yeah.
I'm not interested at all. Southern Charm, New Orleans. I'm not even going to read the whole thing.
No,
we know
I don't
what it is.
Yeah, and I don't watch Southern Charm.
No, so. It's another group of people, and now they're set in a different city, getting
different
drunk and sleeping with each other.
We got it.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's the show Love Italian Style, which I don't know if this is going to make it. I think
this is the only one that I was like, this sounds actually kind of interesting, but I don't... Not interesting enough for me to put it on my agenda.
This to me is up there with, like, There Goes the Motherhood and, like, Courtney Loves Dallas. Like these shows that just kind of, like, just float out there, but there's really no hook to them. Like, I guess they're trying to see who finds the show, but I don't think it's going to pop.
Yeah.
They say, so this is according to Bravo. There's a saying, to live your best life, go where you are most celebrated. For these African-American women, that place is Italy. In this series, relationship expert Dean Valentine takes five beautiful, eligible bachelorettes who can't find a good American man all the way to Italy, a.k.a. Mecca, where she breaks them down and builds them back up to be open to love. Sounds as sweet as gelato, but it's not all gondola rides and delicious wine for these single ladies who live under one roof in a decadent Roman villa. Potentially vying for the same men and keeping one side eye on the ultimate prize, a hot Italian husband.
Oh, so there's only one Italian husband. Are they like fighting for one guy? Oh, no, so there's an Italian husband for all of them.
Vying for the same men and keeping one eye on the ultimate prize. Yeah, so I guess I guess they're not competing for a man. Now, if they were competing, I love a good old school competition. You know, I love those dating shows, and they do well. I mean, The Bachelor, I can't kill that.
Ugh.
But this, I guess it's just going to be a docu-follow of women dating in Italy.
Yeah. All right. It'll be nice to see Italy, but I don't know.
Agreed. The only thing that interested me in that was the Italian
villa. Exactly.
Then the last one is A Night With My Ex. This sounds kind of like an experimental show, like that show Stripped that they're going to have. So they say this about the show. What is it called? A Night With My Ex. What would you do if you had the chance to spend an entire night with your ex? Would you seek answers, try to gain closure, or make a play to get back together? For the first time since their split, ex-couples will be brought back for one night in a camera-rigged apartment with no crew. What they do or say during their night is completely up to them, but one thing is for sure, it will be surprising, emotionally raw, and in many cases, totally hilarious. I don't care when people use the term hilarious to describe a show. This is not up to the viewer to describe it as hilarious.
Right.
You know, it's like
let us decide.
It's like if I wrote my own one thing about this show and was like, it's brilliant, it's exhilarating, you'll learn so much. I mean, are you really going to learn a lot from Grant's rant? You know what I mean? Like, according to who? That show sounds not right.
Sounds dangerous and sounds like the most exploitive one on that list.
Yeah, A Night With My Ex. I mean, I don't have one.
Broke up for a reason.
Yeah, I don't have one, so I couldn't do that show. Not for me. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's these shows.
No, not that interesting.
No.
Mm-mm.
I don't know, though, if I had to think of what show would I love to watch. I don't know. I feel like I'm actually pretty good right now.
I know. I feel like I have enough on my plate to watch.
Yeah, there's enough. There's enough. If they want you to bring back an old school dating show, they could do that. But
aren't they bringing back Love Connection with Andy Cohen?
Oh, I guess. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
That's not what you had in mind.
No. I'm done with Flavor of Love. Yes. So anyway, let's turn the tables and take a look at what's going on with you and what's going on with the second book.
Oh, I'm writing it.
Where are you in the process?
I'm up to 74,000 words. So a book is typically 80 to 100,000. And I think Better in the Morning was 83,000. So I'm getting there. Like, and it's written and I'm just like filling in. And then I have to go through the whole process of, you know, exchanging with beta readers and then exchanging with an editor and then submitting it. So it's getting there. My goal is to submit it by the end of the year. But if for anyone who read Better in the Morning, it's her friend Jada is married, has a child, and hates her life and isn't happily married isn't sure how she feels about motherhood and wishes she could just run away.
Mm. That's a lot already, though, of words. Like, so you've written it, and now you're going back and peppering
and filling in where it needs to be filled in and making sure it follows the outline and, like, certain things happen at certain points to keep the story going.
Now, how often do you work on this? So I imagine when you work on the book, you have to have no distractions. You have to have a good block of time and be all in.
Yeah. I try to work on it every day, but that doesn't happen because we're doing other things. So it's been intermittent. There'll be times where I work on it for 2 weeks in a row every single day in large chunks, and then there'll be 2 weeks where I don't even look at it. So, which is kind of good because when you're writing, you should step away. Have you found that with your
right?
Like you write it, and then when you get distance from it, it's so much better for the editing process, and it makes it so much better.
It must require a lot of focus and discipline, though, because especially like you said, like 2 hours, you're all in for such a large period of time. Once you're in the middle of it, it's probably fine. But the process of sitting down and saying, "I'm doing this," don't plan anything?
Yes. I mean, I get everything done before I start writing on some days.
Yeah.
Some days I'm like, the dishwasher is empty, it's loaded, the laundry is done. It's like there's nothing left to be done. I have to write now.
Right.
And then other days I can just get into it. But any time I'm writing, it's like the time goes so fast. Like once I get into it, then I look at the clock and I'm like, oh my God, so much time has passed. And then I feel so good after. It's like a workout.
Yeah.
It's like working out.
Yeah. I can relate in another way because when I do video editing, it's a lot for me to sit down and get started. But then I have a very hard time canceling the program and like not doing it because I just feel like, well, you know, just do a little bit more. Like, you know, get to another point. Like it's very hard to cancel out.
Yeah. It's like you don't realize the time passes so quickly because you're in it.
Yeah. So what's the timeline on this book? Do you have one or are you still just writing?
No, I still am in the thick of it.
So you don't have like a deadline looming?
No,
or
I mean,
like
my publisher would like it. You know, she hasn't put any pressure on me, the woman who runs the company, but my personal goal is to have it submitted this year.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Right. A lot coming up. Yeah.
And there's so many other things going on. So my husband and I accidentally started a photography business because he takes, I'll tell you really quickly, but he takes photographs of ugly things like dumpsters and trash cans and traffic cones, just the, you know, things that we don't ever look at. But he takes them really close up and they're like beautiful abstract photography. And it got noticed by the people who run this Sundance program. So Robert Redford Sundance Foundation recognizes local artists and has them exhibit their work in their Sundance theaters. So he was selected, and it's now at Sunset 5 on Hollywood, and
Sunset Boulevard,
on Sunset Boulevard across from the Chateau Marmont. It'll be up until July.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I had the pleasure of looking at it. It's literally I live. It's like right next door. And I went and checked it out. And I'm going to have some family in town and we'll go up and we'll look at it too.
Thank you.
I didn't realize it was there through July. So we'll definitely have time to check it out then.
Yeah. It's so cool. But like it's so much work to, I'm like, and he's starting his own ad agency. I'm writing my second book. We're like, want the universe to stop giving us ideas because we're like, we don't have time to, you know. We're making the time.
I love that you're two creative partners, though. Like, that's so ideal because you can feed off of each other.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, that's
great. But it's a lot of work, but it's fun. Yeah. So it's prettyuglygallery.com.
Prettyuglygallery.com. Yeah, check it out. Yeah, so what else is coming up for you? What are you working on?
So for AfterBuzz. For AfterBuzz, I just finished Feud, which is so good, and I'm so excited for next season. So this season was Joan versus Betty, Joan Crawford versus Betty Davis, which was so good because I loved Ryan Murphy's OJ because these are stories that I'm interested in, and I love seeing his interpretation of what happened behind closed doors, like what happened in the with OJ and
the conversations, the conflicts.
Yes, but it's based in truth. I mean, it's all, you know, he obviously does his fact checking. So, I loved the OJ one, so I was so excited for Feud, and it was so
it
good.
Delivered.
Didn't it?
Isn't that the best, though, that these are, like you said, he does his research. These are based in facts, so that's what makes the show even better.
Yes.
Because it's not like, oh, he's going to have a moment where, like, you know, they're going to have a twist. No, this is, like, real life that he's repeating, so that's what makes it, like, even more mind-blowing.
And, like, the Oscar episode was, I was like... The first time I read about that was a long time ago, and I was like, I can't believe that really happened.
I know.
And then I, you know, as I was doing research for the show, I learned more, and I was like, that really happened, but it happened in an age where there was no TMZ, there was no Twitter for Bette Davis to be like, that fucking bitch stole my Oscar. There was none of that, so it kind of, I think, was forgotten, except to the people that it really meant something to, but it was a huge deal.
Yeah.
It was major, and to see it played out is so cool.
Even my grandmother said, is that really accurate? Because
right?
I'm like, yeah, it is. Like, that's really what happened. And that amazing shot of the, I said it on this show,
oh,
the tracking
yes.
shot, that's the show they need to submit to the Emmys if they yes. want to win for anything. But
yes.
it was so well done. I've raved about that.
Oh my God, that Goodfellas scene. Like,
yeah.
there's a scene in Goodfellas where he's going through the Copacabana with one camera, and it's just stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's so
the same
good.
Thing.
Jessica Lange is fantastic.
Yes. So and Bette Davis was, I mean, Susan Sarandon
yeah.
was too. I think they should, you know, just to bring it all full circle, and I think they should both be nominated for Best Actress. I think they should, one of them should win, and the other one should bring the other one on stage and be like, this is for both of us. To
wow.
kind of rectify,
yeah.
like, the Bette and Joan
yeah.
feud.
Yeah.
And bring women together.
Right. So the next one they're doing is what? Diana?
Yes, Charles versus Diana.
Yeah.
Which I'm so excited about because, like, if you're not a royal file, then, like, royal files are probably the biggest dorks. But if you are, tweet me because, like, weirdos have to unite. Like, that's why we do this, like, to connect with
right.
other weird
so
people
true.
Who are interested
exactly.
in the weird things you're interested in. I've read all the books. I read, of course, all of Andrew Morton's books. I read even Diana's butler's book, Paul Burrell. So I just love this. I'm still so fascinated by the royals and by all of their stories dating back from whenever to present day. I just think it's fascinating. They live in this whole other strange world that I can't get enough of. So
yeah.
this is going to be so exciting for me.
Yeah,
it'll
be
next
good.
Year.
Yeah. And I'm still doing AfterBuzz.
And I'm still doing AfterBuzz, and I love it, and I'm hoping to do many more, you know, one-on-one interviews and book circle online. If I had, like, my ideal show, I love Vanity Fair. It's my favorite magazine. And they always cover all the topics that I'm so interested in. So, like, the Kennedys, the Royals, old Hollywood. And then, like, you know, World War II, 9/11, the Titanic. Those things are, like, those events in the 20th century are also interesting to me. If I had a show, I would, like, interview all of the topics that I'm interested in, like an I Love Vanity Fair show.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in any of those, tweet me.
I can relate
yeah.
to that. I try to do that with this show in a way, like talk about things
yes.
that I always say whenever I book anyone to come onto the show, it's like, what are you interested in right now? And we'll find out if we can overlap in that sense.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I'm very specific with these things. Like there, you know, there's Monique is getting a divorce from her husband. You know, I'm not talking really about that. And then there's Lala Anthony who's getting a divorce. Like, you know, some of the things I just don't feel like,
yeah.
I don't, what do I have to cover it for?
Right.
You know,
right.
So, but, you know, the stuff that I talk about is what I really do care
yes.
about.
Yeah.
And that's why I talk a lot about Lindsay. And
yes.
people aren't talking about Lindsay all the time, but I like to talk
yeah.
about
Yeah, you
so
can't
like
help what you're interested
out.
In.
Yeah, I like to call a lot of things out.
That's
but,
what I want to say to that, like, judgmental old lady behind the counter at the hotel 10 years ago. You can't help what you're interested in. Like,
exactly.
this is what I'm interested in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can bet that we've got some interesting articles, things to discuss on this show. I always have things earmarked for the show, too.
Good.
Very interesting Hollywood things.
Good.
That are kind of evergreen. So there's
good.
Always something to discuss. And of course, we're going to be looking at what shows are going to be getting the axe, you know,
right.
like what shows are going to be picked up. It's pilot season.
Right, that's
going to
be
a lot of announcements coming up. Of course, summer TV. And we're going to have a panel coming up in June on the show when my grandmother is in town. So you can look
love
out,
June.
You can look
such
out
a great
that.
Episode whenever she's on.
Oh,
I mean, every
you.
Episode's great, but she's awesome.
Yeah, she was on two ago, so that was 56.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, so if
check
you want to catch up on that one and hear about her book,
I can't wait to read
you
her
can,
book.
You can check that out. So yeah, Fern, I'm so glad to have you on. I hope that we've covered everything
you
wanted to chat about.
Thank you. So much fun. It always is.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm always promoting the first book. It just never ends. It's the life of an author. So if you're a reader and you're on something called bookbub.com, which is awesome, you should sign up for it. They won't bombard you with emails. You'll only get emails that you want to get of whenever a book is 99 cents or free. So it's good to know. So it's bookbub.com, and you can follow me there as an author, and whenever my book goes on sale, you'll get an alert. Check it out, bookbub.com. Follow Fern Rone.
There you go. Nice. Definitely check that out. Follow Fern all for social media.
Yes, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Rone.
I know you're always busy posting the photos on Instagram of the reviews. That must be a full-time
job,
too.
Yeah. The other huge thing. It's like I never knew as a reader how important reviews are for an author, and not just like the reviews that we have to send our book to, you know, book bloggers who are amazing and they help promote reading and authors and they're wonderful and their reviews are so important, but so are the Amazon reviews of anything. Yeah. Anything you buy on Amazon, it means so much to write a review.
Yeah.
It helps so much, and especially books. So if you read Better in the Morning, please write a review.
Yeah.
I love you forever.
The power of reviews are real, even for podcasts.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I've been very fortunate. I have received some great reviews on iTunes recently, and I see you, and I thank you. And even the comments down, people are engaging more on YouTube with the show, which I so appreciate. Because YouTube is just kind of an additional, that's not where I'm getting my main audience from. But it's great to have because it's so much more user-friendly.
Yes.
So, you know, we love the feedback, especially if it's positive.
Yes.
So, check me out on Patreon.com if you'd like to support the show. That's Patreon.com/GrantsRants. And keep up with Fern on all of her social media platforms.
Yes, I love talking to everyone, especially on Twitter. I waste so much time on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But every platform, I'm there. I'll respond. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Rone, RONAY.
Perfect. Well, Fern, we'll be keeping up with you. We'll keep
Thank
an
you.
Eye open for the second book.
Thank
and the,
you.
The status. As
Thank
it
you. Thank you.
Yes, so we'll be back with more rants. I love you for listening.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grant's_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Blake V. Media. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen.